What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Push Through, where JJ and I just talked about 25 things that are just driving us absolutely crazy that we need to push through that probably won't even make it into the podcast because I'm so angry about it. I don't even want to talk about it, but we'll find something more chipper and cheery to talk about today. I hope. If not, we're going to rant. Yeah, we'll just vent.
You can hear us bitch and complain the whole podcast.
Now, the Stoics remind us to never be overheard complaining even to oneself. So I just didn't. I just did a lot of complaining though.
It happens. Sometimes you got to vent. I will say no one's going to realize what I'm talking about, but I challenged Brad to sell 5 things on Facebook Marketplace. In our rant, we were talking about getting rid of stuff. So my wife and I are real big on, like, if we don't use something for more than a few months, we get rid of it. Like, we just sell it. I was like, I mean, all of our stuff, like, that we live with us can fit in a mid-size U-Haul or smaller. Probably smaller if we sold our couch. We have very minimal stuff and it just feels good. Feels light. Feels like you lose weight anytime you get rid of something like that. So
I'm more of a get a dumpster and just throw everything away.
Oh my God.
I can't be bothered like posting, negotiating. Is this for sale still? Yeah, sure. Let's meet up. Oh, I can't today. Oh, I know you said $50, but will you do 40? I just don't have time. I don't know.
Well, throw it away.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that too. But I look at that though, and I see that as throwing away dollar bills. Like, why would you not go through a little bit of inconvenience just to take the money and it all adds up?
Wouldn't you agree though that I got to put a value on my time?
It doesn't take that much time though, dude.
All of that takes so much time that I just said.
Not really. I mean, you can even do porch pickups. We do that too. Like, if it's stuff that's like not super expensive and I'm like, if somebody out there just wants to take it, they take it. Like, we tell them to either Venmo us or leave the cash under the doormat. And we do that a lot.
See, I don't want people to come to my house.
Yeah, well.
We've put stuff for free. Like, hey, I'm throwing this out. If you want to come grab it, come grab it. Because I knew like somebody would want it, but like I just don't have the emotional energy.
Buy a dumpster.
How's week one marathon training?
Easier than expected, minus the 10K. That 10K whooped my ass, dude. As you could tell. I think you text me right after I ran it and you're like, good job, dude, PR, even though fucking Strava texts me. It didn't even show up as the true 10K because I stopped my watch right at 6.20 because I was dying. My heart rate was at 205.
Yeah, dude, you need to run with a fucking defibrillator.
Well, I mean, why do you think that is? Like, I was researching that night. Like, I was asking Google questions like, if your heart rate gets above 200 during intense running, is that bad? And they're like, 18 to 20 year olds during intense exercise, heart rate could reach levels of 190 plus. And I'm like, I'm a 32 year old out of shape dude. Like, this isn't good. Like, but I don't know how much. Like, is
concerned?
That? I don't know. Should I be?
I've always historically had a low heart rate.
See, I've always had high blood. I'm not always had high blood pressure, but I've always been a very high strung individual with a higher heart rate.
Do you think like the high blood, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to go into things that like are medical, but like,
yeah,
I don't know if like, do you know like what your resting heart rate is?
Like 65.
All right. That's still pretty high. Like, do you know what you sleep at?
No, I don't wear a
watch. Was it say you don't wear your Garmin when you sleep?
No.
No?
No, I don't. Actually, I take that back. Sometimes I see on the watch, it says like 48 resting heart rate.
That's good.
But like, how accurate is that though?
When you're sleeping, it's pretty accurate. Because like the whole wrist thing is more accurate when you're not moving. It's the movement that makes it not that accurate. But all right. Well, it was a good 10K.
Yeah. So
I see 200 and I'm like, jeez.
I know, dude. Well, like that's probably, but I'm telling you, there's times in my runs, like the 10 mile run and the 10K. Remember when I told you I was feeling like a little glossy eyed, like, oh shit, I'm redlining right now. That's how I felt at that 10K run. So I was like, I know I'm pushing it. And like, I'm trying, like I'm mentally telling myself, like, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. But my body's like wanting to shut down. Well, now I know why. My fucking heart rate's at 200 plus whenever it's telling me, hey, dude, you need to slow down. I'm like, keep going, you know? But then I saw your marathon stuff and I was looking at your heart rate. I'm like, bro, like your heart rate never went above 165. Like, yeah. I can walk and get my heart rate up to 165.
The first 18 miles, I think I averaged like 141.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's ever going to happen to me.
It'll get, I mean, mine, like I said, mine was never high like that.
Yeah.
But for a while, it would be in like the high 160s, maybe.
But dude,
like I think my max heart rate right now, like when I tried to get, I wanted to know what my max heart rate was. So I got on, did intervals, like hill intervals, and like maybe July on the treadmill. And I got it to like 182.
Bro.
And that was like, I like threw up after that.
No, listen. See, here's the thing though, dude. Like, does that mean then if I can truly get my heart, like I'm thinking about this. If I could cruise at 150 beats per minute, I could run 600 miles. I'm not lying. Like, if I could get my heart rate down that low while I'm running, bro, I could go forever.
That's the goal, bro.
Because like, if I can operate at such a high, I have no background in this. This may not be correct at all, but like my thought process is if I can get my, was it aerobic? How do you say, is it aerobic training or what? Like, how would I say that in a sentence? If I can get my aerobic blank down.
Oh, your threshold.
Aerobic fitness threshold, whatever that is. If I can get that down, which that's my plan right now. Like, wouldn't you think I could operate way more efficiently running? Like, I can't even imagine running my max effort in like that 10K, like sprinting my ass off and my heart rate never going above like 185. Like, that's like a, like 185 for me is like a nice brisk like jog.
Yeah. For your marathon, I'm not going to want your heart rate over 155.
I literally can bring that up walking. Got a lot of work to do.
We've got some work to do. Yeah, but no, it's a good feeling, but it's a double-edged sword. Like, that's kind of one of the things that hurt me. Then it just goes like, you can't go by just one metric because my issue and the lesson I learned yesterday was that if I'm depending on just my heart rate, there's going to be other factors there. And if I'm just like, no, my heart rate's good, I'm good. My heart rate's good, I'm good. My heart rate's good. Those other factors and other variables are going to come back to haunt you. And then you're like, all right. So you got to use it as a metric, but there has to be other variables and checklists going on throughout the race or throughout the training or whatever you're doing. Because coming out of summer, I'm used to my summer heart rates, which are going to be elevated because of the heat and humidity. So now that it's cooled down 30, 40 degrees, my heart rate's adjusted and my heart rate's like, sweet, we don't need to work, but my muscles don't care like how hot or cold it is. And like my nutrition doesn't care necessarily how hot or cold it is or my hydration necessarily. So yeah, I mean, we're going to try and get you down, but there's going to be other things and maybe you will run it high. Who knows?
Yeah.
But like, you're going to learn your specific heart rates and what your zones are for different things. And it'll be lower than it is now. I think you'll be shocked. I think 3 months is a very, very, we're going to test that like once a month for you. But I think at the 3 month mark is when you're really going to notice like your paces coming down at the same heart rate.
Yeah. Cause right now I'm sitting like 13 minutes is like my,
yeah, we'll get that down to 10 minutes.
That'd be sick.
By the marathon. Like, I think we can get you to run like 10:30s, 10:45s for the marathon under 155.
That'd be nice, dude.
I think that's really realistic.
That'd be nice.
So
yeah, if I could,
yeah, do the work though.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm ready to do that.
Yeah.
Did you see my stretching video?
I did.
Isn't that crazy, dude?
Now, come on. Now, for the real ones that listen, did you sandbag it at all or no?
What's that mean?
Like,
what do you mean by that?
Like, did you limit yourself for the show, or did you stretch a little more for the show, or was that?
You mean
like,
before the before shot?
Before or after?
Oh no! I mean, dude, the before shot. As I've never done hip mobility in my life. Right. I didn't know there was hip mobility. Like, I'm learning so much in this running.
So,
shit.
Like, when you made that first video, however long ago it was, mm-hmm. You were trying to go as far as you could?
Dude, I was max effort.
Okay.
Max effort.
Then look at the gains you made just doing that. How long ago was that?
Probably like 2.5 months.
Yeah.
It was right when the knee pain kind of started.
3 months, man. 3 months. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm really starting to notice stuff too. Like, I mean, I'm only a week into marathon training, but like, I've been running a little bit before that. This new form and everything is really helping. No knee pain. I've been doing strength workouts. I did one today. I've been doing legs twice a day. So like, my first leg day for the week, I do like
twice a week.
Twice a week. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's all right.
I do like runner's lifts. Mm-hmm. So like Bulgarian squats.
Yep.
I do one like lateral leg raises, step ups, weighted. I do some calf raises. I do the Achilles and lower part of your calf. It's called, it starts with an S. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. There's certain variations you can do of calf raises to focus on that, to strengthen your like Achilles and all that. Certain types of lunges and stuff. And then my second day of the week is heavy day. So like deadlifts, squats, and I do like, hamstring curls and, what else do I do? Lunges again. Lunges are nice.
Mm-hmm.
Extension leg raises, leg extensions.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I've been focusing on strength, ready to pick up miles at a low pace. Keep that zone 2 in mind. I'm going to have to keep running and walking for a bit. Tomorrow's workout looks a little confusing. I'm going to talk to you about that one. I was trying to comprehend it, but I'm just, the one letters always throw me off, and then I have to go down and look, and I'm like, shit, I forgot what I was already looking at.
So. Do you want me to move the key so it's closer?
No, it's fine. It'll take me some time to get used to, but I'll figure it out.
Right.
So yeah, dude, I'm enjoying it though, man. Like I know it's coming, but I haven't had a day yet where I'm like, I don't want to do anything. But I will say, if I was back in Missouri, 100% would have been facing that already.
Really?
Yeah, because of the weather. Like, Missouri was like 20 degrees the other day. And I was like out running. It was like 75 and nice. And I'm like, oh, this makes the hot summers worth it, because I can wake up early in Florida and go run. But I also can go run when it's 98 degrees and humid outside, because I feel like I'm working harder and my body's like getting accustomed to that hot weather. And again, this is summertime. The weather's not even close to that right now, which this is also funny, fun point or fun fact. When I ran that 10K, I did all my longer runs, like me being longer runs, meaning like 4 miles plus, was all summertime in Florida. So I was going through water so fast. That's why I bought that vest, and I would like wear that vest anytime it was over 5 miles, because I would just literally throw down so much water. Well, it was 68, 70 degrees when I ran that 10K. I didn't drink, I took a 10 ounce water bottle with me. I didn't drink any water until I finished that run at, that's 6.2 miles. And once I got to the park, I was like, I was thirsty, but I was like, I didn't feel like I needed water like I did in the summertime. So it's really funny to like compare the differences of me summertime running in Florida versus me running in like nice weather Florida where it's not humid or anything. And if you're running in the morning, it's actually quite chilly, or at night. So it's funny to see those differences in how my body gets accustomed to needing that water or that hydration at that certain distance. Cause if I would have ran 6 miles, summertime Florida and not have water, I would have, and hitting a 205 heart rate, I freaking would have passed out, dude.
I don't know when it was, but you asked me recently, like, hey, would you bring water for this? Maybe it was your 10 mile race. You were like, would you bring water for this or what would you do? And I was like, dude, I got to be honest with you. Anything less than a half marathon, I don't even bring water out with me anymore. Now, we've gone down in temperature a little bit. And yeah, it's definitely going to be getting colder here. But I personally, the colder, the better. Like, there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad gear. And I love just layering up. I just love knowing that I'm not going to overheat. I just love it. Like, give me a beanie, give me like a nice scarf and like a base.
You don't
layer.
Sweat a lot, do you? You're not a big sweater.
I mean, yeah, I do, I guess, but like that's it.
Like when I sweat, like when I go run, like, and I got this from my dad got it from his dad, and poor Mason got it from me. Bro, we fucking sweat. Like,
yeah, but like that's the great thing about winter. Like, you wear layers and you can just like undo. Like, I don't know if you saw my reel from the race yesterday. Like, I had a button down on. So, like, every little bit, I would just unbutton a button. And it was probably 55, 60 degrees yesterday. And, you know, if I got a little bit of a chill when I'm going over the bridge and it's breezy, I just button back up. If not, I don't know. Like, I'll take. And this is, I never thought I'd say this after Grindstone, but I'll take cold over hot anytime.
No, not me.
I feel like especially in running, like.
Yeah, I get that. So I get that point of, I would agree with you on like, on an everyday run, like just to be a little colder, but like, dude, when it starts getting, and again, I think this also, like, I'm getting accustomed to the warmer weather here in Florida. I went out on a night run the other night. It was 60 degrees and I was pretty cold, dude. Like, the run felt great once I got my body heat up and stuff, but I got out there. I was like, oh my God, this kind of sucks.
Dude, you know, 60 but I was, is no shirt on still.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, man.
No, that's, like, okay. Like, I know.
I get cold. That. I live in Arizona. I know. I was wearing pea coats when it was 70 degrees in Arizona. I know.
Yeah, it was chilly.
But like, we haven't turned our heat on yet, and we had like a little bit of a cold snap last week, and my house got down to like 51. And we were in our glory.
51.
And we were in our glory.
Jesus.
Like, even Avery's like, "Can I sleep with a sweatshirt on?" I'm like, "Yes, you can."
Oh my God, dude.
51, man. And it's probably sitting at 56 right now.
Like, I think the coldest in Missouri we ever let the house get was probably like 67, maybe 66. Like, there'd be times where we walk in with the heat off and it'd be like 62 or something, but we were like, holy shit, we gotta turn the heat on. 50 something, dude. That's pretty cold in the house.
56.
Like, there's no humidity in there either. So that makes that 50 degrees even that much colder.
Yeah, man.
Yikes.
We like it. And like, during dinner time, and like, we get a fire going, it'll probably go up a little bit, but like, tonight, overnight, the house, when like, when I get up tomorrow and come down and shower, it'll be 53 degrees in the house.
Oh, doesn't that make you not want to get out of your shower though?
Not because I don't turn the heat on in my shower anyway.
Oh my God. You're so fucking weird.
I don't even touch the hot water knob.
Dude, you suck, man.
I don't even, like, just all cold water. Cold plunge early in the day.
Oh my God.
Dude, I haven't turned the heat on in my shower. Actually, after Grindstone, when I got back and I had freaking hypothermia. Oh, I bet
that felt so good.
I was in the hotel and it was the first time I'd put the heat on in the shower in as long as I can remember. But in my own house, I would say it's been at least a year because I started cold plunging like right around Thanksgiving. So maybe coming up on a year that I haven't even touched the hot water knob.
See, I will say I have been doing cold showers since I don't have a cold plunge. Like, what my thing is, I tell myself mentally, I'm like, instead of my whole life, I would just turn the water on and wait for it to get hot. Mm-hmm. Well, now I turn the water on and jump right in. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself the gift of taking the shower is staying in until the water gets warm. So like I'm in there and I get in, I'm, you know, it takes my breath away because it's freezing cold to me. I get in there, it hits me. I turn around, I let it hit my chest. I'm just like, oh my God, okay. And then it takes a bit for it to get warm. And then once that warm hits, I'm like, oh, this is good.
You but try the opposite. Try doing the warm shower and then turning the heat off and seeing how long you could stay in.
Mm-hmm. That lagoon dip I did today was nice. Little, I mean, that water had to have been 60 degrees. I mean, I know it's not like super cold, but like.
You have to tell people on your reels that that's not a, like, that's a pool.
What do you mean?
Because like it looks like it's perceived as being like a open water.
No, I feel like you can't tell it's a like.
Nah.
Hmm.
You can't tell it's like a really, really big pool, which is epic.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could tell that because you can see like cars and stuff driving in the back.
No, I mean like. In the back of what? What are you talking about?
Like in the back of the video, like you can see like cars and stoplights and shit.
Cars go around lakes.
Well, I mean,
it's a big pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it does. I don't think people think it's a big pool. I think you just have this really blue, natural piece of water right off your property.
Oh, I never thought of that. Cause I've seen it before we weren't there. And I was like, it's a man-made pool. You know,
it's a big pool. How do they keep the sand out of it? I've seen that like when you ran in, like you ran through the sand and it was like cement. Like, how do they keep the sand out?
They have a thing that they run constantly. It's like a vacuum.
So does the bottom feel like a pool?
Yeah.
And how deep does it get?
Like 10 to 12 feet.
Really? Because does it just look big in pictures or is it really that big?
It's pretty big. Like, I mean, it's hard to say like what's big, you know, when you're looking at a pool, but like, yeah, I mean, the most people, when we show them that for the first time, they're like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, I remember when I saw it for the first time, like it's massive for a man-made body of water. That's like fresh, like a pool, like not like a man-made lake, like a freshly made pool. It's pretty big.
Is it salt water or is it regular?
No, it's fresh water.
Yeah. I figured it'd be cheaper to keep it salt water, but
It probably would be, but I don't know. It's fun, dude. We love it. It's, you know, in summertime, I mean, when it's hot down here, it's the best spot to be, but where we live, the neighborhood that has that though, where we don't want to live in this neighborhood, just because of certain reasons, but so we will miss that whenever we move to wherever the hell we're moving. But that's going to be an awesome pool to get back what I was saying. That's going to like you text me today, like there's your cold plunge.
Yep.
That'll be my new spot. Like I'll ride my, so it's the, that lagoon is exactly 1 mile from my house. So a bike ride there is 1 mile, bike ride back is 1 mile. So like if I do a workout or something or a run, I can hop on the bike, go there, do my cold plunge. And like, I felt like how I felt getting out of your cold plunge when I was in New York.
Yeah.
Just not, it just wasn't as intense, but like I could feel my skin like getting goosebumps. And like when I got out, it felt like refreshing, but it definitely wasn't to the intensity of like a legit cold plunge, but it was almost got the full effect.
Nice.
Yeah. Felt good.
I can't wait till it's that time of season where like all the natural cold plunge people are going to come back. All the people that like don't have chillers like I have that like maybe got off of it in the summertime. And
oh, dude, I'm just waiting for a plunge company like show up in my DMs. I just want one so bad.
Dude, and then the plunge company, they just came out with like a new one. It's like 10 grand. I'm like,
oh my gosh, I'm like, dude,
man, that's aggressive.
That is a lot. Oh, I mean, it'd be so cool though. They're like, hey, you want this? Like,
but then again, like I look at like people like Eric Hinman and these people that are like really into the ice barrel, that one, like that are still buying ice. Like, I don't understand.
I wouldn't want to do that.
How you can buy anything that doesn't have a chiller attached to it.
Yeah, I would.
Like I bought a horse trough and put like a $500 chiller attached to it, which took me like an hour of watching YouTube videos and like 4 hours of labor. And then I went over the top with it, but like I could have gotten by with that build under like $500. And people like, Yikes.
100% would have a chiller if I bought one.
You have to.
Yeah, there's no, because I wouldn't do it as much if I had to go buy ice and put it in there. And yeah, I think too, man, in Florida, you put ice in a bucket of water, it's not going to make it any colder. You know what I mean? Like,
it's an ice melter at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not an ice bath.
You're making that water comfortable is what you're doing. You're not making it colder.
Yeah.
So
you want to hear all the things that you shouldn't do in your marathon?
Let's hear it, man. Well, first, before we hear things we shouldn't do, I mean, the big news is you PR'd your marathon.
Yeah.
That's huge. I know it wasn't exactly what you wanted to get, but I mean, you still PR'd.
I want to say I feel really good about that, but
okay, good.
I will say here's like the anticlimactic piece of that.
Well, hang on. Before you get into this, I got one question for you. It's a yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, if you run this one in February with me, besides that one for yourself, will you ever run another marathon again?
Like not as a part of an ultra?
Yes. Like a marathon race.
Like a road marathon.
Yep.
It'll take a lot, man.
Really?
It'll take a lot. It's okay. So much different. I won't say shittier. It's so much different than like a trail run. And I think the misconception is that there's not a lot of trail runs, so it's like easier to sign up for. That is not the case. Like if anybody goes on ultrasignup.com, you can filter by distance, state, time, mm-hmm. distance from your house, things like that.
I'll second that.
Dude, there's endless trail runs mm-hmm. and 50Ks, and which a 50K is pretty much a marathon, let's call it. I mean, yes, there's an extra hour and there's an extra 6 miles, which 6 miles is a lot, but if you're going to train for a marathon, a little bit of extra training for the 50K makes just going up to the 50K, in my opinion. Like, I can see if somebody wants to check a marathon off a box, like you, like, mm-hmm. right? You want to do a marathon?
Sure, want to.
Like, yeah. But if you've already done a marathon, maybe even done two marathons, I personally can't see the reason why you would ever like continue to just stay on the road.
So I mean, for me to answer that,
okay,
to be like devil's advocate, I look at it as I would agree with you. Like, I have a feeling I'm probably going to love trail running way more than I would love road running. So mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I've never done a legit trail race, but I could see myself liking that a lot more. But to play devil's advocate to that, I think the reason I would maybe, again, never ran one, so I don't know, but why I could maybe want to run more is to try to get that like next level time. Like something about being like the top 10% or the top 5% time-wise in a marathon, like that is pretty cool.
Yeah, like, and I mean, you have people like Casey Neistat. Now, he went really fast, but he came really, really close to a milestone. He went 3:01. So he's like, dude, I could have broke 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Come back out and break it.
Yeah.
You know, or like you said, you're 10 minutes away from qualifying for Boston.
Right.
Or you want to go to a major city like Chicago and make it an experience. Okay. But if you're a mid-pack runner like I am, and you'll hear people say like, in a marathon, like it's a tough distance because when you train for it, it becomes short enough where you have to push.
Mm-hmm.
You have to suffer the entire fucking time, or you don't train and you're out there for 7 hours.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard to go out and have, in my opinion, an enjoyable experience. Now, don't get me wrong. Yesterday was an outstanding day. I loved all of it and I'm glad that I did it. But when I got done with Grindstone, 19 hours, hypothermia, like toes blistered up, chafing everywhere, I woke up the next day and I wanted that pain again. It's been over 24 hours since I've been done with the marathon, like zero interest.
So what was the difference in pain then?
I think that there's definitely more physical pain than like in the ultra. It was a lot more of a mental battle.
Okay.
It was more of a fight with myself and what I was capable of. My muscles hurt, but in a different way. And in the ultra, like when my muscles hurt, like it's acceptable to kind of walk a little bit. If I can say that, like where I had other goals yesterday where I was like, I'm not going to fucking walk. Like no matter what, I can jog 12 minutes per mile. I am not walking today. And I didn't walk the whole time. I walked in and out of a porta potty a bunch of times, but I did not walk on the road. So that was, even in my previous PR, that wasn't the case. So this was the first time in my life I've ever ran for 26.2 miles, which was awesome. But yeah, so to answer your question, no, I don't, if somebody said to me like, hey, I want to run a marathon, you know, you want to come with me, would you do it with me? Or like, those things, I would love to go. Like if a charity called me, like, and they were like, there's a lot of like guides that lead the blind and things like that, or even the autism community, they do guides. And if I can do something like that, that I would be all in for. Like that's kind of the only way I'd see it. Like the only way I'm going to run another road marathon is if I'm helping somebody else achieve their goals. That's it. There's no other reason that I could see doing it.
Hang on. I got to ask you something.
Okay.
You know Theo Von, right?
Yeah, of course I do. Be careful. I don't want to edit this podcast.
I know. That's the thing. I was going to try. I was going to try and throw a Theo Von type joke in there, but no. I couldn't. Yeah, no.
I don't want to edit the podcast. You could tell me later.
Okay.
But now you made me lose my train of thought. Like, oh yeah. So here's why, although I PR'd by 19 minutes, I'm still unhappy with it. Because my PR was 4:17 and this was my 15th marathon. And I've only broke 5 hours twice. One of them was the PR 4:17 and one of them was New York City. I think it was like 4:40. The reason why I don't like count those, because I never trained really. And the 4:17 that I got, I was running, I was active, but I think I was looking with my brother. I think that year I ran 360 miles total.
Wow.
When I set that PR.
Dang.
I'm at 1700 for this year already.
Yeah.
To give some like comparison. So it was, and I joked about it even on the podcast that like I could have PR'd like with a hangover. Mm-hmm. Like that, the PR wasn't in question for me. And that's why it wasn't really a goal. Now I did have a major goal of breaking 4 hours because taking 17 minutes off and getting in at 9 minute pace was pretty like, that was a good goal. And that's the saving grace. That's what I'm very happy. I'm blessed that I got to go out there and do it. I went 9:03 and some people are like, oh man, don't you want to go back out? And you know, 3 seconds off per mile. I'm like, no, don't care. And I really wanted to go 3:45. So like in the back of my mind, like the expectations I had for myself, I was...
What was the official final time?
3:57:12.
Okay.
So
and you wanted 3:45. So you missed it by what, 13 minutes?
Yeah. So it was pretty much the difference between... It was the difference between 8:35 pace. I think 8:35 is like if you were on an official course... At exactly that distance, I think you have to run 8:35 to go 3:45. But I was thinking 8:30s because the course is going to be a little long. It's, you know, you don't take the perfect path that they measure. So I was thinking 8:30s. And whether I said it out loud, seriously or not, like I knew deep inside that 8:30s was very, very manageable for me. I'd been running and holding at 10 miles plus in the low eights, like the 10 mile trail run I did a couple weeks ago, which was really close to 11 miles. Like I did that at 8:03 pace. And that was on the trails, ups and downs with more elevation than the New York City Marathon had. Like, okay. Now you're like, all right, well, it's 16 miles more than that. But I pushed in that race, but to lose 30 seconds over the course of the marathon, I knew it was manageable. I ran 13 miles 2 weeks ago and I did that at 8:15 pace. No problems whatsoever, like on a casual half marathon. And like I joked and told people like, I'm going suicide pace. I'm going full send. I'm either crushing my thing or I'm going to blow up. And I kind of said that, but at the end of the day, I did want to have a plan, and that plan was 345. Now, as far as the execution, I made mistakes, and maybe I went out a little bit too hard. I think here was my mindset. I had a perfect morning. I don't generally eat a lot in the morning anyway when I first wake up, but I'm usually up around 5 o'clock in the morning. So with daylight savings, getting up, it was my regular morning wake up for me. So that was fine. But with the race starting at 9:10, and really that being 10:10, I don't know if I got enough calories in the morning. And although I never felt hungry, I just, the way my body was acting, I kind of had a feeling like there was a little bit there. Now, the other thing that...
Did they have food at that race? Sorry.
Yeah. Before they had like bagels and stuff like that. And I had a half of a bagel at probably like 7:30. But like on the course, they had like bananas late in the race, like after 20. They might've had a gel station, maybe around mile 23. But like... Other than that, no, definitely not like the ultra scene where you pull into an aid station and people are cooking bacon and quesadillas and shit. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I can't wait for that, dude.
And I knew that the first mile was up the bridge, and I knew that was going to be slow. And then I knew subsequently that the second mile was down the bridge, and that was going to be really fast. And I knew that I wanted to get off the bridge with that net up and that net down. I wanted to be close to my like 8:20, 8:25 pace. Because I knew I was going to slow over time. I wasn't going to negative split. Well, I think my second mile, I went like 7:05. And
oh, shit. Did you look down? You're like, oh, my God. I need to slow down.
I did not look at my watch until 5K. And I told you I was just going to have the time of day on there. And I did. I just had the time of day and I raced on feel. I was talking exactly what we talked about in the podcast.
Would you go back and change that?
Yeah, I think I would have, because that podcast, we talked about how well I thought I knew myself, but I kind of did, because if you look at my heart rate splits, which are on Strava, I post all of that stuff. I was a metronome. Like my heart rate was 141 the entire time, 141 to 143 for the first really 18 miles. And at 5K, I saw the clock, and I was like, because I had a clock at every mile. And at 5K, I saw the clock, and I was like, oh, man. I'm like, I was going 8:08. And if you don't run, it may not seem like a lot, the difference between 8:08 and 8:20, like 12 seconds on a mile. But it's a really big deal physiologically, and I felt good. And the first mistake I made was not really listening to that 8:08 and being like, Brad, you have to calm down and you have to come back down to 8:20s. At that point, like the crowd starts to set itself up in a way where, like, you probably saw this in the 10 miler a little, where in the beginning people are passing you, you were passing people. It was weird. But the longer the race goes on, the more you kind of get settled in with people going about your same speed.
Bro, I didn't realize it would be like that.
Yeah.
That is one thing I noticed in the 10 mile run, is like the first 3 to 5 miles was like complete chaos. Everything after 5 miles was like, I was with these people almost for the rest of the race until the last like mile or two, and when I picked it up.
And I went in. Yeah. So I was like with those 8:08, 8:10 people, and the miles were clicking away, and I just felt good. Felt good. Kept going. The weather was perfect. The vibes are insane. I posted the long form video today. You could check it out. And it's like, it feels like the Tour de France when they're coming up the hill and the people, it's like, I don't know. And I was kind of just feeling myself. And I think what happened was I started to believe in myself a little bit too much in my abilities. And I didn't realize it, but I was PRing my 15K. I PRed my half marathon, which you should never do in a full, like, especially with the amount of half marathons I run. It's not like I run them occasionally and like I pulled a PR out of them. Like, I run half marathons every week.
Yeah.
And I do half marathons at marathon pace like every other week. So to go 143 in a half marathon where my PR was 146, like that should have been another red flag. But
when that happened out in the race, did you know you PR'd?
No, I didn't know what my half marathon PR was.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. I knew it was around 145, but
so you knew you were like, when you hit that half mile or that half marathon point, you look down and you're like, oh shit, like I'm booking it.
Yeah. And I even said in the video, like I was joking, like, oh, I'm probably going to pay for that. And I was saying that cause I knew it. And
it's gotta be the worst feeling.
And I was like, well, we either have to like really slow down now. And then, and here was my mindset. I could slow down. And then if shit goes bad, it's going to go bad. And I just slow down. Or while I'm feeling good and my heart rate is still low, should I just keep going? And then when shit hits the fan, if it hits the fan, it does. And I'll reevaluate that. And that's kind of the option I went with. And so my nutrition strategy, which is really the ultimate thing that really caught up with me, was I had a good strategy as far as like when I needed to eat. So I had my 250 calorie gel and two salt tabs that I wanted to have every 50 minutes or so, which for me was pretty much at 10K. So at 10K, I had 250 calories and two pills. At 20K, I had 250 calories and two pills. At 30K, I had 250 calories and two pills. And when I tell you, Jay, that gel, the same gel that I eat every single day, mm-hmm. it's never given me an issue. That third gel, I took it in my mouth and it was like it didn't hit anything. Like I was instantly, not like I took it, kept running, yeah. was like, oh, my stomach. Like the water stations, which were every mile, were probably like 30 yards long. Like they were big. There's 51,000 people in this race. So they got to get water to all. It's not like just like one little 6 foot table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I took one coming, I would take it coming in there knowing I want to get the gel in my mouth and I want to get the pills in my mouth and I'm going to grab a water cup and I'm going to wash that down. So that's really what happened. So by the time I got to a cup of water to wash it down, my stomach had already dropped. And I'm like,
damn.
I'm like, oh man, it was instant. So I got in the bathroom quick. Everything went okay. But it wasn't one of those where like you're running, you're like, I got to poop. And then you poop and you feel better. It was like, I was just in knots. Here's the mistake that I made. And like I said, this is just me feeling myself, me thinking I'm a superstar and really not training this distance and this style of race. Cause this is not something that comes up in an ultra. I should have been drinking like a gulp of water or two at every single mile.
Yeah.
And the only time I was putting anything in my mouth, I was treating water as part of my nutrition strategy.
Oh.
Where it shouldn't have been like that. And it was unseasonably warm, 60 degrees, but I was still sweating. You know, I sweat a lot and I essentially got dehydrated. The gel didn't do it to me. It was dehydration. And after 30K, which is like roughly 19 miles, I got to 20 and I was like, I got 10K to go. From 10K on, I was in the porta potty three times. And now all systems were just shutting down. Dehydration is not something to fuck around with. And it's one of those things where you're like, I'm dehydrated. I need to chug water, but your body doesn't want anything. So like I'm trying to chug water, but I'm nauseous. And as soon as it was just a disaster. And I said to myself,
oh, it sucks, dude.
And all the while I'm watching. So at 20 miles, my average pace was 8:11. So I'm supposed to come in under like right around 8:30. I mean 3:30. And I'm like, all right, well, if I can just hold on, I can salvage this 3:45 still. I can still do it. And I reset my watch and I'm like, I'm going to watch my pace. I'm going to keep my pace at 9:30. Like, I'm not going to let that happen. And it was like one porta potty. I'm sitting there in the porta potty, disaster. And I'm just watching my average pace. Just tick, 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 which now is starting to F with me mentally. Like, oh man, now I'm not even going to get the sub 4 hours. And it's just like, boom, boom. And I mentioned in a reel, this is where old Brad would have cashed in a pity party, would have walked in the last 10K, would have cried to Tara on the train ride home about what a failure I was and what a fuck up I was and what do I think I'm doing and I'm an imposter. These are all the things that would have. But like I changed the narrative in my mind, which is a really big deal. And I said like, A, I'm going to go for that goal of not walking at all. And B, if I can just get to Central Park, I know that the crowd is going to not allow me to walk and then I'll be able to shuffle it in. And I think in that last 10K, I was doing like 10:30s and that was as fast. Like now my legs are starting to like get to that point where you'll feel this, where they feel like if you take another step, they're just going to seize up. And like, they're not cramping, but they're right fucking there. And at about 23 miles, I noticed that my shirt was dry and I wasn't sweating anymore. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And yeah, I literally went from running 8:08 to 8:11 for 20 miles and then salvaging 10:30s with multiple bathroom stops to get in. And my pace dropped 40 seconds per mile in the last 6 miles of the race.
So, go ahead. Well, so I got three, I think, main takeaways then. And I'm trying to like take this as lessons learned for mine.
Oh, yeah.
Eat before the race. Make sure you get your calories in.
Or stay according to your clock. Like if you're not a morning person and like you don't eat in the morning and you have a 6 a.m. start time for your race, maybe you don't have a huge breakfast.
Yeah.
But this wasn't a normal race. Like It was 9 o'clock, which is late for a race, not to mention daylight savings. So my body really thought it was 10. And by 10 o'clock every day, I'm starting to put calories into my system. Yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning, I started redlining, a marathon. So know the nutrition plan and know what time you're going to start for sure.
Okay. So nutrition, food, eating, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Second, don't go out too fast.
Yeah. And it's like that's the first thing you read. I said to my students today, if you Google top 10 marathon mistakes, I checked 9 of them off. No problem. I checked 9 of them off. Like, don't go out too hard. Don't go out too hard. Yeah. I think maybe not go out too hard, but have a plan and stay disciplined to that plan, even if you feel good. Like, I'm not mad at myself that I went out running 8:08s. I'm mad at myself at the 5K when I didn't pull back and I know I should have. I'm mad at myself at the half marathon when I PR'd and I was feeling myself and I knew I could have backed down. Those were the things that made me mad at myself.
Last one, drink water even though you really don't think you need it.
Yeah, and not in a way like where it's summer where like
you're
thirsty because it's hot. And I'm such a bonehead. Like I made the same mistake in Ironman Boulder where it was cool, but I think too humidity is a big deal. Like when you live by the water like I do, you're used to always sweating. But when the humidity goes down and your sweat evaporates quickly and you don't like feel the water like dripping down your ass crack, you're like, oh, I'm not even sweating. I'm not losing the water. And really what happened yesterday was, especially with the breeze of running, the breeze on the course, the bright sun, and a really, really dry day, humidity in the high 30s, low 40s, I wasn't monitoring I didn't monitor how much like my body's still working. And it's still trying to cool itself down, even if you don't feel wet. Water should not be a part of your nutrition plan. And that's a big lesson. Like water is just a necessity for life. And all the electrolytes and the calories you take, that has to be separate from water, which I did not do. And I took that for granted because when I'm training for ultras, I have my vest on. I always have a liter of water on. Yeah. I can just take a sip whenever the hell I want. Like aid stations are so far apart that you're like, I'm going to fill my bottles. I'm going to drink a lot. Like it was almost, it's kind of funny. Like having the water in the marathon every single mile was almost a false sense of security because it was almost in a way like I'm a mile in. I've been running for 8 minutes. I don't need to take a sip of water. The water is so far or so frequent that when I'm thirsty, I'll just get one at 3 miles or I'll get one at 4 miles. Or I know I'm going to take gels at 6 miles, I'll just do it then. Where in ultras, it's like, yo, there's aid stations every 12 miles. While you're here, you better be filling up your water for the journey to the next one, and you better be drinking as much water as you can before you go on to the next journey. So I think I just took for granted the need for water and how much in my training it's just readily available.
Right.
And I knew I didn't want my handheld because, once again, there was water every mile. I'm like, I don't need to carry this bottle with me. I'm gonna have all the water a guy can drink. And here I am, the asshole that collapsed and died because of dehydration. And it was like, it was the most water I've had available to me in a race in years. And I dehydrated myself.
So that's one thing I noticed when I ran the 10-mile race, is that they didn't have water at every mile, but they had it like probably like every three, because it was loops. So like there were certain, you knew every time you were going to pass it.
Yeah.
And so it was probably like every 2.5 to 3 miles, I had a water station. And I, every time I passed it, I drank it. But that's because I know I get thirsty and I sweat a lot. And I was sweating a lot that race. But the problem with that was, to me, and I bet the same thing would happen in a marathon race, it sucked to grab that water and try to like drink it. Cause I didn't want to slow down.
You gotta squeeze.
Like I was still trying to like, I did. I saw somebody else do that. So I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So like, what I would do is I'd hit the first person, grab theirs, and I would chug it. I'd throw it back, and then I would grab another one on my, like, as I'm going through. And that one I would kind of keep as like a sipper. But like,
yeah,
every time I would like go to take a drink, it would mess up my breathing, it'd mess up my flow, it'd mess up my cadence, it'd mess up my form. I'm just like, this is so inconvenient to do this. So then I would end up just like pouring half of it on me and then just try to drink as much as I could. But I am glad, like, I'm not glad that happened to you, but that reassures me that I do need to take it as serious as I did in the 10-mile run, as I do in my marathon run, that I need to be drinking water at every station.
Yeah, and I was so concerned with seconds, like in hindsight now, like, so when you're running through and there's not 50,000 people right around you, but there's a lot of people. You see in the video, like, I'm shoulder to shoulder with people for most of the race. So when these water stops come, you like the middle, there's like tables on each side of the road. The middle is like the fast lane. And you see people like slowing down, going over to grab water. And you're like, no way, man. Like, I'm not losing. And guarantee all those people pass me at the end, because I was so concerned with backing my pace off for literally a second to go get it. I was like, I'm not. I don't want to trip on somebody. Like, I'm going right down the middle. And I got so concerned or so caught up with like my time. And this has been one of the things that I've also said that I love about ultras. Like when I did Grindstone, like very, very, very few people asked me what my time was. And nobody cared. Everyone's just like,
it.
Dude, you ran 68 miles.
Yeah.
You know, I walked into the building today and people that don't even talk to me, we're like, what was your time in the marathon? You ran the marathon. What was your time? Oh, how was your time?
Yeah.
I heard Mr. Faber went this time. What'd you get? You know, and
did you beat Mr. Faber?
Yeah, I smoked him.
Okay, cool.
But I was supposed to. He does this very casually. Love you, Mr. Faber. I love it. But like, I got caught up in that hype. I got caught up in influencers that are running 2:45.
Yeah.
I got
just so crazy to even think about.
Dude, like I mean, I fell victim to a lot of dumb bullshit, you know? And that's why I'm only mad at myself. Like, dude, I have no fucking excuse. The weather was perfect. The weather was perfect. I had a great morning. I slept well the night before the race. It was daylight savings. I got an extra hour worth of sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see how I can get a more perfect like hand, you know, but like I got bluffed out of aces because, you know, I thought I was defined by like going out and doing 3:45. And, you know, I think that I'll tell you this, if I would have ran 8:20s in the beginning of the race, I would have been able to hold 8:20 for the whole race, or 8:30. If I came out off the bridge at mile two, and I turned my watch on, and I had alerts set for when I went under 8:30 pace, I would have went 3:45. And I know that. So there is that saving grace too, that I can say to myself. So
doesn't that make you want to run it again though?
Nah, man. Cause I just know, you know, how much stuff you have in your life that you don't need to worry about. Cause you just know. Like, you don't need to punch your son in the face. You know, you could beat him up. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, that's a little different.
And I mean, like a great quote my dad used to say to me, cause I had a temper and, I would start shit with people, especially when I was drinking. Like, he'd say, you know, like, I'd come home all busted up and he'd be like, did you pick the fight or did somebody pick it with you? And he knew. I was like, yeah, I picked the fight. He goes, you got to remember that when you pick a fight, you better be ready for a war. And yesterday I picked a fight with the New York City Marathon and I did not think about the war. I didn't think about the battle. I felt invincible. I thought about, I run ultra marathons. I've run 1600 miles this year. I got second place in a 10-mile trail run. And the New York Marathon said, aw, that's cute. This isn't ultra marathon land. There's no fucking quesadillas here, bud. You know?
But
there's no hydration vests. There's no cushy soft shoes. It's just different. You know,
but hang on though. So you've been kicking yourself in the ass, but you still did PR, dude. Like,
yes.
Even given all that stuff that happened to you, getting dehydrated, not drinking the water, going out too fast, hitting the porta potties, you know, all that shit hitting you in a row, you still PR'd your marathon time.
And that's a tribute to me being consistent and just being a runner.
Yep.
And which is a ripple effect of sobriety and everything like that. And that's another reason why, like, I know that if I continue to do the right things that I've been doing, and if I continue to stay consistent, I'll get on a marathon course again and I'll be okay. And
you're running with me. Maybe I'm going to 350 something.
If I come run with you, I am staying on your shoulder and we are finishing the race together, whether we're out there for 7 hours or for 3 hours. But I mean, yeah, like, everyone's like, oh, did you apply for the Berlin Marathon lottery just opened? Everyone's like, oh, did you put in your application for Berlin? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, you hate traveling out of the country. I'm like, no, I don't want to do a road marathon unless I am helping somebody else achieve their goals. I will do it. I will do it. If somebody DMs me and they're like, hey man, I've been listening to you for a while, or I've been following you, like, if Corey wants to run a marathon and he's like, hey man, can you come run this marathon with me? I'll be there. You know, like, you didn't ask me to call. I said to you, like, do you want me to be there? I'll fucking be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because I do want to help. I know that having people there and doing something with somebody else will help you. That's how I did my third Ironman. My buddy was like, hey man, I need a training partner. I'm like, all right, if I'm going to train with you, I might as well sign up and do the race.
Right.
But nah, man, I have a 13-mile trail run on the calendar that I'm looking more forward to than any marathon I could sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
I have this backyard ultra coming up on December 9th. Which could only be 4 miles. And I am more excited about that. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm not an elite runner. Cause I probably could be. For a 41-year-old guy, I could probably, that's the other thing too. I never did speed work. I got on the track. My brother Danny, he's very good at putting things in perspective for me. He's like, Brad, like, you finished Grindstone, you kind of jogged and recovered for two weeks, which justifiably so. And he's like, and then you did like two track workouts and a couple threshold workouts. He's like,
yeah.
So you did speed work for a fucking month? And what'd you expect? So it's like, I think if I really did it, maybe this would be something we'll do one day. But probably not. Maybe I'll put in like a marathon block and I'll do two speed workouts a week and I'll do threshold weeks. And I think that times don't I need external motivation, but I don't think I'm not motivated by times anymore. I'm more motivated by personal growth and achievement. Like I said, when we started this, I said, you know, I liked the 100K because it was more of a mental battle. Like those are the achievements that I want to see. I know that I can run a marathon. I want to go out there and I want to fail finding something that I don't know if I can do it. You know, I want to be terrified by elevation gain. I don't want to be terrified by time. Mm-hmm. No, I want to DNF because I don't make a time cutoff trying to do something that's way outside of my scope than kind of hobble across the finish line. But it was, like I said, at the end of the day, it was an amazing day. And it's one I'll remember for the rest of my life.
It looked fun, dude.
I could have went slower. I could have went faster. I know. And at the end of the day, I had a great race, and maybe this will be my last New York City marathon. And if I die with 3:57:12 being my fastest New York City marathon time on a sneaky course with a lot of gain in the second half, and I'm very, very content, especially knowing that everything that went wrong was right under my own control. Grindstone, that storm, I couldn't do anything about that. This,
right,
this was all on me.
So, marathon in the books. You said the Backyard Ultra coming up. You got the 13 miler coming up.
Yeah.
You know what I always think about?
Sex.
Besides that.
No, what's that?
I turned on this race last night when I couldn't sleep. And dude, like my biggest goal, I haven't really ever, like besides the podcast, like I haven't announced it on Instagram or anything like that, but like the biggest running goal I have in my life that I will like maybe cry when I've crossed the finish line.
Cocodona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what got me into this, dude. Like besides like you, but like you got me into this, but like that's the first thing I like that stumbled me. Like I knew there was marathons and shit, but I never paid any attention to any of that.
200 or just or Cocodona?
No, Cocodona.
And like the thing I'm scared about with Cocodona is I feel like by the time I/we get to the time where we can do it, there's going to be 500 mile races out there.
I know, dude.
You know, they're getting so freaking crazy. But
even if that's going on, that race alone is one of those things that's like, that would mean something big to me. Cause that's like when I saw Andy Glaze running it and I'm like, what in the fuck is this? And I'm hooked now, dude. I'm hooked.
And there's a lot of people that just started signing up for that race too. So I'm seeing that. It's definitely not in the cards for 2024 for me, but 2025
years from that.
2025, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna at least do one of them. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
I think, depending on how the race scene evolves,
I think ultra running's getting more popular too.
I think it is. It isn't. It isn't. I think their major brands are starting to pick up on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that definitely helps. And amazing race directors having these incredible races.
Mm-hmm. And social media.
But there's one thing I did learn about this year, and I would never call anybody out, but this sport, including myself, I DNF'd. I didn't make the cut. This shit will expose you.
Oh, for and sure.
I know a lot of these guys that are running marathons every single month, or, you know, they're fast, this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, oh, they use their social status to get them into big races like Leadville and things like that. And they DNF. And I said this about Ironman, and I can say this about the marathon. Like you can go out and walk a marathon. You don't have to worry about the cutoff. There was people finishing last night at 11 o'clock at night. Like you can go out and walk 26 miles in 8 hours if you want. Even if you've never run a mile in your life, I guarantee you, you could go out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You're going to hurt like hell the next day, but anybody, maybe not anybody, 90% of the population, even with our trending obesity, you could go out, if you had the will, you could go out and walk for 26.2 miles in 8 hours. Anybody can do that. That is not true for an ultra. That is not true for an ultra. And that's the thing I love about it. It will expose you. You can't use your social influence to get you through an ultra marathon of 100K or 100 miles. And that's what I love about it. But that's also what keeps me from like making my eyes too big for my stomach. Like when I first did the 50K last year, I'm like, I was supposed to do Javelina 100 last week. You know, I was like, I'm going to do a 100 miler, you know, right after that. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And I had to take my name off a couple lists because after I did that 100K, I'm like, shit. Like I had full intentions 6 months ago, not even 6 months ago, over the summer, I had full intentions of either doing Coca Dona or Moab next year. I had zero doubt in my mind that I was going to do one of them, that 100K. And it wasn't because I don't think that I have it in me. I'm not ready. And I'm not ready for the emotional piece. Like you got to go out there. I never realized how much emotional strength I gained with the 50K and my first backyard ultra and things like that. Like you need to learn what 10 hours, 12 hours feels like on the brain before you start thinking about multi-day events. So I'm like, that's just out. So next year I'll probably try and do like two, maybe three 100 mile races, probably two 100s and a 50 miler. I hired on a coach. It's going to be awesome. And and I'm going to start thinking about telling my boss that, I'm going to need a week off in May. I think May 2025, I'm going to go for Coca Dona. I want Coca Dona the most too as well. And there's personal reasons why I want that. I did my first Ironman in Arizona. I'm like attached to it like that. And Aravipa Running and Jamil Curry, I love him as a person and a brand and what he's done. And when I was doing the Ironman before Jamil had Aravipa, he was always trail running and he would have these small little like show up races at McDowell Park that have now become these huge, huge parks. So like I kind of knew him before he was famous. I think he was just in college at the time. And I have that. But then like I see races like the Tahoe 200 or like Bigfoot. I'm like, those races are fucking cool too, man.
Yeah, I know. The Tahoe 200 looks awesome.
I'm gonna have to take off for work because no one wants to do that stuff in the middle of summer. Bigfoot is in the summer, but I don't think Bigfoot should be my first 200. And I'm not saying Coca Dona should be, but I think as far as like the logistics and elevation and things like that. And 2025.
Well, stay tuned because we'll bring the action to you.
Are we going to do that one together?
I'd like to.
May 2025?
I don't know if I got that in me, dude.
And I'm like, wow, that seems so far away.
It's not, right? Though.
That's the same amount of time as when I started my run streak, pretty much.
Yeah, like that's, I need a couple years of being, here's the other thing with my running stuff. I haven't been consistent enough to even know my threshold, like right where I'm at right now. Yeah, I had the knee thing happen. I think the longest on Strava that I've been consistent was like 2.5 months or something like that.
Dude, a marathon and 100K next year is an amazing year.
Yeah.
That's an incredible year for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be big.
And then 100 in 2025, maybe 100 and a 50. And then you might be like a 2026 guy.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Oh, Mason and I are doing another 5K.
Nice.
He's going to try and PR.
Love it.
36 minutes is this time. Yeah, or I told him we're going to go sub 35.
All right. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
We're bringing the action.
Yep.
All right. I think we've given the people what they need.
Yeah. Well, I just want to circle back to the New York Marathon as we close this and say, because I know myself too, and I'd be in the same shoes, like focusing on all the shit I did wrong and whatnot, but like you still PR'd, dude. Like, yeah. Killed it.
Still ran the...
And look where you're at right now to where you were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Like, that's the big picture.
I'm almost like... I almost like don't know the reality. If you... if anybody watches the long form video, that I made about the marathon, it's on Brad Trains. There's a part in the middle when, I'm like sitting there and I think I come on and I say something. It's right before I'm like, it feels really good to train for something. And I think, I sat down, I said something like, man, I'm fucking ready. And I started talking about how I've never been like so not nervous for a race. I started bawling. I had to cut the video and restart it. And I restarted it when I was like, it just feels so good. And when I first say it, you see me smile. Like I kind of look over here and I smile. I smiled at a guy that saw me bawling when I was filming it the first time. And I hit it and I was like, dude, I can't keep it together, man. I explained to him like briefly, like how blessed I was and like how I feel like I'm living in a fairy tale. Like I don't even know which way is up anymore. And he's like, all right. He's like, get yourself together. You can film it again. And so when I press record, he was over here behind the camera going, you got this. You got this. Don't cry. Don't cry. So I smiled at him and I was like, I had to make sure I didn't look at him again. But there's a little behind the scenes of like what was going on. But I really had a moment. And you kind of know like the faces that I'll make right before I'm about to start bawling. And like I had a really, really tough emotional moment. And like you said, there's a lot to be happy about. And I have no idea which way is up. I really don't. And, you know, getting on the subway, I didn't have my phone on the whole day. Like getting on the subway and having like, I maybe get like, you know, I slide in the DMs. I maybe get like, at any one time, there'll be like five to 10 DMs that I haven't answered. Cause I'm not always on Instagram, but I had like scrollable blue dots, like the amount of people that had reached out, the amount of people that, you know, sent me messages either in the morning or in the afternoon, and they're still coming in. The people that shared the reel that I made and all these fucking strangers, man. And we've been through this on the money side. Like we both have very big YouTube channels, all things considered. And we've both been in a position where we've gotten too many messages that we can answer, you know, and like it was just, this is a different type of community. And we've mentioned that before, and just the support that it's unreal, dude. It's just,
bro, I'm already figuring that out. Like I officially made that switch to like saying, okay, my personal brand is making this massive change to this, cause this is what I'm passionate about right now.
Yeah.
And I feel, I've noticed that community it's so much better.
When we were growing YouTube, I felt like, yeah, like there was a little bit of vanity piece. Like I wanted 100,000 subscribers. Like mm-hmm. I wanted a big YouTube channel. I knew I'd never be famous with 100,000 subscribers or 100,000 followers on Instagram. I knew that like in the money space, that kind of like, I'm not Graham Stephan, you know, I was not going to get there. And I'm not saying I'll get there in the running space, but I more want 100,000 followers in the running space because I feel at my point and what I've been through, like I feel like I can help, not even inspire. I don't want to use the word inspire. I feel like I can just help lead people much differently than I did in the money space. And I don't need the clout. I don't need the free shoes. I don't need the brand deals. Like I'm over that part too. Like we're good with money. Like this, if I said that I grew my YouTube channel and I wasn't thinking about money or anything like that, I'd be lying. Like the money was good. But now that I'm older and I got the money, now I genuinely just want to grow it just to like have conversations about sobriety with people in the DMs or just to travel and experience new trails with people.
Yeah.
Or like
the amount of messages we've gotten about just people being like, I've been listening to the podcast or I've seen you guys, I get these all the time. Like, hey, really enjoying these new, like latest podcast episodes and the recent change you and Brad made on Instagram, blah, 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 blah. You guys got me back into running again. And I haven't ran in 10, 15, like, dude, that's so cool. That
nothing better than that.
Feels awesome. So
yeah. And I will let people know that we're trying to line up some guests. If anybody is on Instagram, been talking with Jeremy Miller, an amazing guy. I'll probably post something like, if you do know who he is, if you have any questions you want us to ask him, he won't be next Monday. I think he'll be the Monday after that, like the week of Thanksgiving, his episode will come out. But yeah, man, I feel the New York City Marathon was just another piece of the fairy tale. And it's a fairy tale that we're building on our own. Like things like fitness and taking care of yourself are things that you can do on your own. And I've been very, very lucky where I've been doing it now for long enough where I feel like the imposter syndrome is going away. And, you know, I'm getting seats at different tables now and it's really fucking good, man. We could say it all we want. And I just want people to know that don't listen to like, or don't see 357.12 and think that I just pulled that out of my ass. You don't even have to watch my old videos. Just go see what I looked like a year ago. You know?
Seriously.
Just go see what I look like. And that should paint a little different picture. Or go back to some of our old episodes on YouTube. Go watch and see how wasted Jay and I were. You know? And like, I'm not saying I regret those days, but it was just a different person. And like,
it was.
If you are getting fucked up randomly on a Tuesday and you want to stop that, you can.
I remember getting pictures from you like the next morning when you go down to your office and you took a picture and there was like 12 beer cans at your desk.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you can tell we recorded last night. I'm just like, damn, dude. And now we're drinking NAs and bottles of water while we record.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. No, same.
All right, buddy. And I will say too, last week we had more downloads. I don't want to talk numbers, but we had more downloads last week.
Like where the hell did that come from?
We had probably 4x the amount of normal downloads.
Yeah, about that.
So if you shared our shit, thanks.
Thank you. I remember I logged in to check and I'm like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, because we don't get any analytics except for the amount of downloads. But nope. And a download is just when you click it and listen. So I mean it could have been a bunch of people that listened for 5 seconds.
True.
But still felt good to see that number.
It did.
And also too, I guess this is a weird thing to say at the end of the episode. If you're on Spotify, they've been throwing ads in and we get like 4 cents on that, but it's better than nothing. We don't really have a lot of control over those ads. So like, I know some are coming across even in Spanish, just skip ahead. Just know that we're trying to collect 10 cents for that.
And one more shameless plug here then too. We haven't really mentioned this in a very long time. If you guys could leave us a review for the podcast, that really does help us out too. Like just to get awareness out there and like the reviews help our like podcast kind of get broadcasted a little more if we get enough good reviews. So
if you like it too.
Yeah. If you like it
on Spotify, you don't even have to write anything. You just click the appropriate amount of stars that you feel we deserve.
5.
just click the 5 stars.
Just make it easy.
Just make the 5 stars.
All right, dude, let's get out of here.
All right. Hop in the Discord if you want. We're in there for a cup of coffee a month. You can really help us, keep these servers going and things like that and keep these Zoom that they hit us with and tell a friend about the podcast too. This is a word of mouth business. So we love you. All right, Jay.
Cool.
Good night.
That's all I got.
I thought you were hitting
I thought you were hitting the record button.
I'm hitting stop. I hit the record button. Thank God. I'm going to hit stop right.